Good morning, everyone. The meeting of the Community College Committee is now called to order. And can you please take roll?
Chair Del Carlo.
Here.
Vice Chair Lieberman. Regent Carvalho. Regent McAdoo. Regent McMichael.
Here.
Regent Moran. You have a quorum present. Advisory members, roll call. Dr. Brune. Mr. Hooper. Ms. North. Thank you.
Okay, again, good morning, and we'll go to our first agenda item, which is public comment. And this will be taken during this agenda item. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item until a matter is included on an agenda as an item on which action may be taken. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes per person. Persons making comment will be asked to begin by stating their name for the record and to spell their last name. The chair may elect to allow additional public comment on a specific agenda item when that agenda item is being considered. And is there any public comment in Elko?
There is no public comment from Elko.
Thank you. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas?
This is Las Vegas. There is no public comment.
Thank you. How about here in Carson City? Here you see none. We'll go on to item number two. Minutes for approval. Has everybody had time to look at the minutes? Okay. Do I hear a motion?
I'll move.
Okay. Thank you, Regent Carvalho. We have a second.
Second.
And that was... Oh, thank you, Sam. I mean, Chair Lieberman. So all in favor of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Say nay. Okay, the minutes pass, and we'll go on to item number three, information-only item, and it's our Vice Chancellor's report. So I'll give you the floor, Vice Chancellor McKinnon.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Nate McKinnon for the record, and through you to the members. Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you here at Western Nevada College for this meeting. And just a couple updates from where I sit. First of all, I'd like to the Chancellor mentioned it yesterday at the board meeting, but just for our committee as well, welcome Caleb Cage. Caleb, if you could stand up, please. If we could welcome Caleb. Caleb is our new Assistant Vice Chancellor for Workforce Development and Community Colleges, and we're very excited to have him on the team. Brings a wealth of knowledge and experience, and he's already very much hit the ground running and engaging with our institutions, our workforce partners, our state partners, and so on. And so we look forward to continuing to explore that, and I think in our perhaps even our next meeting, if not the one after that, we'll probably hear from Caleb about how that's going. I'd also like to take a moment to congratulate the IAC, the Institutional Advisory Council at Truckee Meadows Community College for, is BJ here?
Gotcha.
Oh, BJ, if you could stand up, actually. BJ North is here. BJ is the new chair of the IAC at Truckee Meadows Community College. Congratulations. And thank you for joining us this morning. And the other chairs, I think we no changes in those at this time. The last thing I want to mention as part of my report, Madam Chair, is that the Community College Presidents had a workshop over the summer, as we do every year, to sort of work together and collaborate and get our heads around what we want to prioritize as collaborative work for the year ahead. And this year, what came out of that was working collaboratively to grow enrollments, to enhance online education offerings across our institutions, explore the possibility of common marketing and a message for community colleges, as well as explore shared services at our institutions, particularly the community colleges. Madam Chair, that concludes my report. I know we have an abbreviated meeting today, and just one agenda item that we have to vote on, so I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to say to the community college presidents, I'm really pleased to see you working together and collaborating on shared services. I think that's really, really important, especially for our two smallest institutions. Budgeting gets tough, and the more we can share and help each other, I think it's really great. And it really leads into Dr. Hilgerson and I will be presenting at the ACCT Leadership Congress next month in San Francisco, and our topic's shared governance. And we have our first meeting on Monday to work on our presentation, and I promised her I'd have my book read by Monday. So that's my assignment this weekend. And at GBC, President Hallins, are we getting any closer to an IAC chair?
Yes, we are. We have several members, and that will be discussed at the next meeting.
Oh, terrific, because I know you've been a good year, and we had quite a long interruption at TMCC, and, you know, that's really a critical component for our community colleges, and I know this committee is working hard to decide that role and how we can engage our communities and that IAC more as an integral part to help those community colleges. So with that, we'll go on to item number four. For possible action, it's a handbook revision for the Nevada Promise Scholarship. And again, I'll turn this over to Vice Chancellor Nate McKinnon.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. Nate McKinnon for the record. So I'm delighted to be here today to present to you, for your consideration, the handbook revision for the Nevada Promise Scholarship Program. As you know, we've talked quite a bit at our committee about the Nevada Promise Scholarship over the past 2 years. Some history behind the Nevada Promise Scholarship is it was signed into law, created by the legislature as a scholarship program in the 2017 session. In very short order, the community colleges collaborated and worked together to figure out how to effectively implement the program and do it in a consistent manner across all four colleges. That was done rather quickly, and as we went along, we discovered a lot of challenges in the implementation of the program. So we were able to get that working, and as we went forward, we identified areas that we'd like to look at come the 2019 session to recommend potential changes. And we did that, and the Chancellor's Office recommended new legislative language that would be put forward into 2019 to amend the existing statute on how the Nevada Promise Scholarship was put together. That bill is actually included in your materials as SB 350 from the 2019 session is after the draft handbook language in your board packet. Today, I'd like to walk through briefly, if we could, the actual Nevada Promise Scholarship regulations and what we're looking to do here. And point out where some of the changes are from previous practice. So the eligible institutions remain the same, and that's the four community colleges across our system. The requirements for eligibility have slightly changed from where they were previously, and I'll get to that in a second, but still we are asking for students to be a Nevada resident in accordance with the provisions of Title IV, Chapter 15, have not been awarded a previous degree, and have obtained either high school diploma from a public or private high school in Nevada, one that is in a county that borders Nevada and accepts students, and or successfully completed the high school equivalency assessment selected by the State Board of Education. So none of that's changed from previous practice. Complete the Nevada Promise Scholarship Program application. Complete the FAFSA, and I'd like to point out the language here that is different. This is from the legislature. In the new legislation, or if the student is prohibited by law from completing the FAFSA, complete an alternative form acknowledging said prohibition for each academic year of participation in the program. They also have to participate in one training meeting related to financial aid, FAFSA, and college orientation. Previously, there was a requirement for two separate training meetings. They have to have met at least once with a mentor assigned to the student through the mentoring program before the beginning of the first semester. They have to complete at least 8 hours of community service prior to enrolling in their senior year of high school, and that is down from 20 hours, which was the previous requirement. That's also a legislative change that we're acknowledging here. And then also, for each semester they are enrolled in, they have to complete 8 hours of community service as well. So 8 hours prior to enrolling while a senior in high school, And then for each semester while a member of or while receiving the Nevada Promise Scholarship, in order to remain eligible, we'll need to complete 8 hours of community service, submit all information deemed necessary by the college. That would include, for example, the verification process. Be enrolled in at least 12 credits. That remains the same. And be enrolled in at least 12 credits moving forward after their first semester, except when they're approaching graduation. If they only need 9 credits to graduate, that at that point they can only take 9 credits, and that would be okay. We also put in here meet satisfactory academic progress as defined in Title IV of the Higher Ed Act. And so this is a change that from what we had before. There was a language in there that was a little confusing. It was called adequate academic progress, which isn't really a term of art in our field. One of the recommended changes that the legislature adopted was putting in satisfactory academic progress, and we're codifying that here. And then also have not already received the scholarship for 3 academic years. That's the limit in the amount of time that an individual can receive the Nevada Promise Scholarship. So that's the eligibility component. For students with disabilities in Section 3, this language also comes directly from the legislation, providing an opportunity for those students to be exempt from some of the requirements above. The appeals section lays out the process for appeals and how that will work at our institutions, and it's consistent and very consistent with how our appeals processes work for the other scholarship programs. Each of our community colleges under Title IV has to put together an appeals process for other forms of financial aid as well. The leaves of absence is a new component. This wasn't there previously. It was something the legislature inserted, allowing for all of these reasons, A through E, those are directly from the legislation, the reasons that a individual may request a leave of absence. And the transferability remains the same. That's something we've always felt very strongly about, is that if a student starts at one of our colleges and decides they want to attend another community college and they've maintained eligibility for the Nevada Promise Scholarship, that shouldn't be a penalty for them, and they should be allowed to continue. The community service section, Section 7 of the language, does basically codify what we are looking for when it comes to community service. Some of this comes directly from the legislation. Some of it comes from language we've looked at over the past 2 years to understand how it appropriately works. Some of the requirements are that it, in general, must benefit the community. That's what community service is. We think that's a reasonable thing to request. Section 8 is the awarding of scholarships. And first part of this is that our colleges have to notify the promised students that this is subject to available funding. And in the event that funding is not available, which is letter C, that process put forward where first it goes to students who received the award in previous academic years on a first-come, first-served basis based on the FAFSA completion date, and second to students who would be receiving the award for the first time on a first-come, first-served basis based on FAFSA completion date. That comes directly from the previous version of the legislation. So it did not have it in the second version of the legislation. However, given that the legislature had previously set this out as a precedent in the manner in which funds would be prioritized should there become a shortage, we felt it was appropriate to take the legislature's lead on that and put it in here is how we would also follow suit. I would also point out letter B makes it clear that no college shall award money to a student who is prohibited by law from completing the FAFSA unless all students who have completed the FAFSA have been awarded the maximum amount. And that also comes directly from the SB 350 language. The next sections are definitions and reporting, and the last thing I would point out is Section 11 is our procedures and guidelines of some of the minute details we have to work on through procedures and guidelines, such as the dates, what those will be for our students in terms of flexibility on deadlines, defining the common application, which we already have, as you know, a common application. It's open right now. It's the same application we've used for 2 years. Each year we've made some improvements on it, thanks to our good group working from all of the colleges collaboratively to do so. The acknowledgement form for students who are prohibited by law from completing the FAFSA, the reporting requirements, requirements for a mentoring program, and any other provisions necessary. So, Madam Chair, that concludes the review that I wanted to make sure we went through as a committee today of this new language. You'll notice it's all in bold italics, and that's because this is an entirely new section going into the handbook, and we're very excited on behalf of the community colleges to have brought this to you today, and happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you, Vice Chancellor McKinnon. Does the committee have any questions? Regent Cavallo.
Thank you, Chair Delgado.
It's early.
I just wanted to ask if it would be appropriate to offer the presidents a chance to weigh in on this, if they have any feedback on this policy.
That's a good comment, and now's a good time if the presidents have anything they want to say or add.
So, Karen Hilkerson, for the record, I think that it's an excellent policy, and I think part of what made it work is that Vice Chancellor McKinnon really collaborated early on with individuals at the campus level, and I think that makes it really good. So I also want to say that Nevada Promise is an outstanding program. I think what we appreciate most about it is it can help people who are low income. It can help people from middle class families who might make slightly more, but not enough to really to afford college in Reno right now, for example. And so it really is a fantastic program, and I think it's going to lead to some excellent student success and completion outcomes, too. Thank you.
I'd also like to echo the comments that have been made. I'd also like to add that it also provides an opportunity to work with the a whole community. It's really an ecosystem that's working together to create a college going culture. So you've got members of the community providing mentorship opportunities and being role models for students. You've got a whole system now, at least in Southern Nevada, where Clark County now has, the Clark County School District has aligned their onboarding process to their semester so that students automatically are getting now into this process. And it's really creating an opportunity for us to kind of fix the pipeline, to be able to provide information early on in the process about college opportunities. So we're extremely pleased. We also echo the observations that have been made that the vice chair has done, chancellor has done an excellent job of engaging our staffs throughout the process. And I think that's going to serve us well now and even better as we move forward into the next phase of this program.
Thank you, President Zaragoza. I'm President Vince.
we look alike.
Good morning, Regents. Vince Solis for the record. I want to echo some of the similar comments. It's a great program. More than anything, what this program does is allows anybody who has a desire to come to college, to better themselves, to better their families, but may not have the resources. This is a great commitment from the state. It provides these students an opportunity to come to one of our community colleges and basically provide that access, which is a key cornerstone to community colleges. And I also want to thank Vice Chancellor McKinnon for being a huge advocate for the program, being a great coordinator, and being a great partner for the community college presidents, because his work has allowed us to coordinate it as a single effort. And everything that has been said by Dr. Hilgerson and Dr. Zaragoza are true in terms of providing mentoring, providing that access, providing the component of a worry-free experience is a tremendous opportunity for the citizens of Nevada. So I want to thank the state, the regents, and everybody for supporting this kind of program, because it's not only progressive and forward-thinking, it is life-changing for many of these students that have no other means by which to pay for college.
Thank you for those positive comments. President Helens, do you have to add anything to add there?
I have nothing to add, but I do concur with everything that was said.
Okay, thank you very much. Regent Lieberman.
Just one comment. This is a win-win situation for everybody, because not only are the system pushing this out and our presidents, but also the legislators are very much pushing this out to their constituents. And it's a very collaborative effort, so that's commendable.
Thank you. I just had a few things. I think it's just been a wonderful program. I was kind of skeptical at first, thinking, oh, free, 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 everybody gets free stuff. But these are kids that really need it. And we all know in this room we're here because education is people's way out of poverty and a life that you can support yourself and be a productive citizen. And that's what we want for everyone. And Vice Chancellor McKinnon, has there's been enough money? I know, I think the first year was $3.5 million, and the last legislature gave us additional. Can you expand on that, if you can remember?
Yes, we got $3.5 million, and we did not use all of that, so we'll carry forward some of that into this biennium as well. That's one of the things in the Nevada Promise Program, the way the fund was set up, that allows it to carry forward. And then I believe we got an additional $4 million in this biennium for the Nevada Promise Program. That is a little lower than our original estimates, but we will be able to see as we move forward and from one semester to the next with how much utilization will happen by each of the students. So we're hopeful that we'll be able to stretch the dollars to make it work and won't need to worry about implementing this section on the awarding process.
Okay, and another one. I know the appeals was just put into this. We haven't had any in the past, have we yet? Had any appeals yet?
Thank you, Nate McKinnon, for the record. Madam Chair, I think we have had some appeals, but one of the things we've not done, because we didn't really have the authority to do so previously, was ask for reporting on those appeals from a system level. This now requires reporting for appeals on a system level. But I know, for example, that I don't know that our presidents would know any numbers or anything, but I'm certain that at least at CSN, because I've had conversations about appeals there with their team, and so they were able to appeal certain things under the previous legislation. This just makes it more simplistic and also well-aligned with appeals processes for other scholarship programs. I don't know if anyone wants to add anything to that.
Yeah. Other than some of the appeals already have been addressed, some of it had to do with the community service requirement where we just didn't have the system up in place, and so they weren't meeting that requirement, and that would have been a barrier for them. Deadlines was another one of those issues. So procedurally, we've enhanced, I think, the bill, and so I think that by addressing it on that side and then providing for the formal appeals process will help us, help students.
Okay, thank you. And are we tracking the graduation rates of the Nevada Promise students? Will we know what our percentage of the ones that start actually complete?
Thank you, Nate McKinnon, for the record. We will need to. It's in the legislation. We don't yet have a cohort that would have made it through that. Our first year of Nevada Promise students are currently entering their second year of college this semester. Since last year, well, the program started 2 years ago. It didn't enroll students until last fall, so they're currently entering year two, but that is a requirement.
Okay, and your group will take care of that?
We'll work with the institutions on how to appropriately report that back to us so that we can compile that and meet the mandates of the legislation for reporting that information.
Okay, I think it's one that we're all going to be
right.
Like...
I'm sure. In terms of the indicators, we are monitoring persistence, and at least at CSN, the persistence rate is higher for the Promise group than for the general population.
Oh, that's good to know. And as everyone heard, there's a component of mentoring, and I just really encourage everyone in this room, certainly everyone on the committee, we should all be mentors. It's really fulfilling. I've probably met at least 10 students over the last 2 years since the program started, and it's their stories are compelling. It's really opened my eyes, because sometimes you get caught up in your own little world and you don't realize that others don't have it as well as you have. And you're giving them a hand up, not a handout, which I truly believe in. So I think it's a wonderful program, and thank you for all your efforts, and thank you for the collaboration. I think anytime we can collaborate, that's that epitome of shared governance. I love that we have just one application. That just makes so much sense to simplify things and streamline. So,
Madam Chair,
thank you.
May I add something?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Nate McKinnon, for the record. A couple things. One is I would echo your call for people to sign up to be mentors. for all of you as regents, for all of us who have experience in higher education. There's no reason we can't sign up with our local community college. And in fact, all of us have friends and family. And the responsibility to be, the requirement to be a mentor is simply to be an adult who can pass a background check. You don't need to know the FAFSA and all of the requirements. The college will train you in what you need to know. So we'd very much encourage everyone to sign up to be a mentor and bring along a few friends and family members to do the same. And then the last thing I'd like to mention, Madam Chairs, I'd be remiss if I didn't send some thank yous for helping with this policy, particularly to Vice Chancellor Crystal Abba and Assistant Vice Chancellor Renee Davis, as well as Deputy General Counsel Zalalem Bogala. Really appreciate all the help that they put in. It was a great team effort, along with all of the feedback from our folks at the institutions.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Regent Carvalho?
Thank you, Chair Del Carlo. I want to say that affordability is a barrier to entry and a barrier to persistence for many of the students in Nevada. So I commend you on bringing this forward and working so collaboratively to make sure that this is a big part of what we do. Access is one of our strategic goals, and this aligns very well with that. So thank you for this program.
Thank you for your, as always, thorough report. Thank you. And with that, I'll entertain a motion to approve the policy.
So move.
A motion by Regent Carvalho with a second by Regent McAdoo. Okay. All in favor of the motion, please state aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Well done, Vice Chancellor McKinnon. We had a very light agenda, so we move on to item number 5, which is new business for future meetings. Any committee members have anything they'd like to see? Regent Michael.
Yes, I would like to see if there is a way that we can coordinate with all of the institutions to come up with a way of helping students in emergency situations. I understand that some institutions have programs, food banks, and student grants, and I'd like to be able to coordinate that throughout the state so that no one area is left out, and any student in need can receive assistance from any part of the state.
Okay, this is the Community College Committee, so we could do a have a report at a future meeting on what is happening on our 4 campuses there. And you'd probably have to bring that forward to maybe under new business later today for the other institutions, the other 3. Yes, Regent Lieberman.
No, I was just going to comment. When we have that discussion, we may want to involve the student body presidents because I know a lot is already being done on some of the campuses at that level.
It's a good suggestion. I know becoming a new regent, I had no awareness of a food shortage for students, nor were students sleeping in their cars. I mean, I heard that first time I came to a College of Southern Nevada at our first meeting, I think second meeting I attended, and gosh, it really opens your eyes to what's out there. Anything else for new business? Seeing no other new business, we'll go on to number 6, public comment. Is there any public comment in Elko?
No public comment from Elko.
Thank you very much. Any public comment in Las Vegas?
We have no public comment in Las Vegas.
Thank you very much. Any public comment here in Carson City? Seeing none, I call the meeting of the community colleges adjourned.